Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, let's get an update now on the offensive launched last October to retake the Iraqi city of Mosul from ISIS. Iraqi troops supported by Kurdish Peshmerga fighters and advised on the ground by U.S. troops have clawed back most of the eastern part of the city. The effort to retake the west is about to begin, and the U.N. is warning that the fighting could force more than 200,000 civilians to flee. Mike Giglio is Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed News. He was in Mosul recently. He's returned to nearby Erbil. He joins us by Skype. And Mike, describe the situation in Mosul.
So I was in eastern Mosul last week, which, as you mentioned, is mostly cleared from ISIS now. And it was surprising, actually. Areas that had been the scene of heavy fighting just a couple weeks ago had civilians in the streets, had markets running, had civilian traffic driving up and down the city as if things were almost back to normal.
This has to be a real morale boost for those Iraqi troops.
It is, and especially because it was such a long slog to win the east. You know, when they went into eastern Mosul this fall, they actually thought that would be the easiest part of the operation and that it would be over relatively quickly. And instead, it really turned into a difficult fight, and they took a lot of casualties. Mm. So I think to finally have reached the banks of the Tigris and to be able to say that they've controlled that part of the city now was really a big moment for them.
We remember when reporters like Arwa Damon were embedded with the troops and they got stuck in narrow alleys and they got set up by ISIS fighters who trapped them. I mean, it was really very difficult. But what about this next phase, the West?
It's going to be much, much more difficult. The street fighting is going to intensify. It's a lot more built up. It's a lot more densely populated. Iraqi special forces who have been leading the fight have relied to a large extent on being able to do so from their armored Humvees. Mm-hmm. And they might not be able to do that in the West. It's going to be, I think, house-to-house fighting, clearing houses on foot. There's probably a lot of IEDs in the area, and I think it's just going to be a lot slower and more difficult going.
Well, when you hear more congested, because we remember the images of the Humvees that couldn't fit down these alleys, and that's why they were getting stuck in the east, so now they go into the west. Look, what role is the U.S. military playing in this?
The U.S. military plays a key role in this and has throughout. You know, they were the ones that, or the U.S. generally was the party that brought people together behind the scenes, that got the Iraqis and the Kurds to cooperate. And who put down a lot of the planning for the battle. Beyond that, you know, as you mentioned, there's U.S. advisors embedded with Iraqi troops. There's U.S. airstrikes constantly being called in by the troops on the front lines and also beyond in strategic strikes. So they're really involved in just every facet of the war.
So this is a success story for the American military as well. And just brings up a question. It comes at a time when President Trump, as you know, has instituted these travel bans on certain countries, including Iraq. We spoke to your fellow journalist, Borzu Daragahi, when that travel ban was first instituted. And he said at the time that he felt it was endangering American troops because here they were fighting alongside Iraqi troops who were hearing that while they were fighting ISIS and dying fighting ISIS, there was a ban on them traveling to the U.S. Since that time, since it was first instituted, an Iraqi translator for American troops who was trying to come to the U.S. was detained because of that travel ban. Did you hear any reaction to this from the Iraqi troops that you spoke with, or even the American troops?
Yeah, it was surprising, actually, the extent to which the Iraqi troops, even in Mosul when I was there, had been paying attention to the news. And they were upset by it. As I mentioned, it was a really difficult fight to this point, and they've taken really, really serious casualties and made a lot of sacrifice. And I think just the message that sent to them, and this is how they described to me, was one of lumping them in with terrorists when, from their perspective, they're the ones on the front lines fighting that same enemy. So I think they really just resented being grouped together like that.
Do you see it in any way affecting the fight against ISIS?
I don't, actually. I think it hurts their morale, and I think it's a bad message to send to them. And, you know, I spoke to the senior special forces general for the Iraqis in Mosul, and he said that. He said this is a hit to their morale, and it's not something that we need to deal with. But beyond that, I think that the message from the soldiers that I received was our relationship with the U.S. military goes back to 2003. We've been fighting alongside the Americans for more than a decade. So we're not going to let this one action define our relationship with the U.S. military. Yeah. I think from their perspective, it's their relationship is bigger than that, bigger than one administration or just one action from a new administration. I asked a soldier specifically about this, and he said, you know, we know the Americans. We've been fighting alongside them for more than a decade, and they know us. So I think that's where it stands. The cooperation will continue. I think just the messaging was difficult for them.
That's Mike Giglio, Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed News in Erbil in Iraq. He recently returned from Mosul. Mike, please stay safe and thank you.
Thanks a lot.